Good morning. My name is Brian Pereira. I'm the founding editor of Digital Creed. And for this interview today, we have Mr. Ranjay Lama, who's the CTO at Undostre. Undostre is one of the fastest growing startups in Mexico, and they are revolutionizing the consumer payments landscape in Mexico. They were recently awarded the best fintech startup in emerging markets, and they are enabling Mexicans to pay for anything at the tap of a button. So welcome, Ranjay, and good to have you on this interview.
Thank you so much, Brian. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Ranjay is the CTO of Undostre. And Ranjay, can you tell us a little about yourself? I know you are from India. What led you to Mexico? Tell us about your journey right from your university days to the companies you worked at and to where you are today.
Perfect. So right from my university days at Delhi College of Engineering, I've always been focused on learning the best I can from my environment. And it always helps, I have seen, to have smart people surrounding you so that you can get inspired from them. So right after college, I went to Adobe. It was an environment in which I learned how a big company works, what drives people at such a company. I found, however, after some time, I found that the learning opportunities would be more exciting in 2014 at a startup, because during this time, Flipkart was getting big, Zomato was getting big. So as a result, I moved to LimeRoad, which was an e-commerce for apparels and accessories right after its Series C in 2015. It was an amazing team. Again, it's just like having a team which has the best people cherry-picked from different areas of expertise. We had a brilliant CTO, few of the best and surprisingly youngest founding engineers I had seen. I learned a lot out there. As I seeked some leadership opportunities, I moved to Curo Healthcare. It was an integrated platform for managing diabetes. And I led the creation of their patient engagement platform for health coaches while leading a team of four. Again, it was a brilliant executive team, and I learned, I mean, how do you strategize a really complex product? Health products are hugely complex. That's what I learned there. And during this time, so I was nearing 5 years of experience, and I was just looking for that just that larger than life sort of role. For example, I mean, you start this company, you're an early engineer, you see that product grow to, I mean, just leaps and bounds. That was something I was looking for. And the 0 to 1 feeling, basically, where you just build that with your hands and then you see it getting used and you're like.
Yeah, so you were now bitten by the entrepreneurial bug and there's fire in the belly.
Yes.
And so, yeah, there was a lot of experience, 5 years. You felt confident enough. Let's start something on my own.
Yes. I either start or be in a situation where you're almost doing that. So, okay. So that opportunity I found with Undostre and these Indians, I mean, they were in Mexico. They had started a company. It had already been 2 years out there. It was a tiny team, a big potential market, already a product with market fit. And this was just the perfect setting. So, and I just jumped at it. That was 2017, October. Yes. And then the last few years have just flowed from there. We've grown from 5 to 50 people. We've grown 10 times on all our metrics. And from 100,000 app downloads, we're 1 million, etc.
So you have now 50 people working with you, and yes. These are mainly from all over the world, all nationalities, or primarily Indian.
So we've got a Cuban, we've got someone from Chile, people from India. So yeah,
it's a multinational.
Yes,
and primarily young people, I guess, like 25 years.
Yes, that's the type of people we like.
So you were at the right place in 2014 when the entire startup thing was bubbling, you know, at the right place, as they say. And you've also had a wide experience working both at larger companies like Adobe, and also at these smaller companies like the ones you mentioned. And you've seen environments both in larger companies and in startups. What is the difference, you know, if I'm a person looking for a job and I'm wondering how it is like in a large company like Adobe, and then in a startup, there are stark differences of working in a large company and a startup or a small and medium. Can you highlight some of those differences for our audience?
Definitely. So it's, I mean, I'll give you a very visual sort of setting. So, I mean, I entered Adobe and basically my path was kind of set. I mean, so you're going to work in this team. These are your peers. This is your manager. This is your project. And this is what you're going to do. Okay. So that's good. It's a disciplined approach. But then I'll compare it to, let's say, entering into Curo Healthcare, let's say. I mean, so the founders, when I joined, the founders at that time were just brainstorming about a chatbot. And I just heard them. They told me some things. I sat up at night. I built it in the morning. I just showed it to them. They were excited. They wanted to enter it into a competition, etc. So that's just how we work. I mean, we work on the situation. We just do things which we hadn't done before. I had never built a chatbot. I'm not an expert in that, but that opportunity just comes to you because you're just in an environment where just ideas are flowing. You're close to the problem, and that's what I mean. You're just close to.
It sounds like what drives people in the startups is you get that creative freedom, the spark. The idea comes into your mind and you can just go for it, you know, and you're free to just develop it rather than following the standard operating procedure and the routine of a big company, which takes a little bit of time to roll out an idea or a prototype. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would go at a faster pace to produce something.
Yes, a faster pace as well as you just...
No limitations. You have full creative freedom.
Yeah. You own that product kind of. I mean, You just heard it, you built it. I mean, whether at a bigger company, you wait for it to come in a particular form. It's passed.
There's a product life cycle, I guess. A
full
product cycle and a roadmap, which takes a bit of time. Yeah, for you to see the fruits of your labor, to put it.
Yeah.
Okay, and you also get to patent your product, I guess, in the larger company. Okay, so let's move forward. Let's talk more about Un, Dos, Tres. Can you tell us, a little bit more about the leadership of your company, the founders, the co-founders, and we're interested to know, like we've heard that you're developing a payment product, but can you tell us more about the product and how exactly are you going to transform the payments landscape in Mexico?
So Un, Dos, Tres was founded in 2015. We have three co-founders, all from India. They met in business school. Two of them went right after business school in Spain to Mexico. Again, Mexico is the largest Spanish-speaking country in the world. So that's where the Spain and Mexico relation comes.
Right.
And so two of them were here in Mexico. One was in India. They stayed in contact. So two of them were working here. They were seeing the landscape out here. They were building products out here while working at other companies. And that's how, they just perceived a difference between India and here. So, I mean, they just felt that difference. I just can't pay my mobile bill reliably. I mean, that's a simple problem from which this whole thing started. So that's how it started. Today we are 50 people. We are Series A funded. We are funded by two of the largest venture firms in Mexico.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, I'll go on to tell you a little bit about the products and services we develop and how we plan.
Is that a niche market, Ranjay? Do you have a lot of competitors, or are you a first mover there?
So we are actually not the first mover out here, but again, it's just about building stuff which is current, which is, I mean, more than serving the user. I mean, again, it's again, just basic business practice. I mean, if you treat the user as God and you just build something which just surpasses expectation. That's what we are in it for. So right. These products existed, but they were really clunky and they just didn't make you happy and you didn't like using them again. So that's what inspired it and that's what keeps us going.
So you're focusing on the UX, the experience and the value part of it. That's your strong.
Certainly. So Mexico, I mean, if I just describe in comparison to India, so it's a country which is 10 years behind India, I'll say. So,
okay.
So the Paytm, etc., started in India in around 2008. Similar things are starting here in 2016-17.
Okay.
And so that's how we are going, and we are catering to those first people who are coming online, who are just sick of standing in lines and just looking for that.
Would you take your product to other markets, like in Africa, for example, where the same thing is happening?
So for us, our focus is the Mexican market. And
right now.
In the future, yes. And we'll just look to expand maybe to other markets in Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
A global thing is a bit far away, but
far
again,
off, yeah.
There are similar principles which guide in all emerging markets.
Okay. Would you like to tell us what, just in bullet point form, what are the unique USPs of your product?
It's just the probability, for example, that you do a payment and it passes. So this may seem slightly an easy thing, let's say in India, but in a country which is still coming up to the technology revolution that is happening around the world. So just having that satisfaction that you did a recharge and it happened is a big thing out here. So we build solutions around that. I mean, we connect to as many providers we can, as many processors we can, and we use technology to its best to keep the time the minimum and the experience the best. So that's something. But then, we are then just going that extra step. So, for example, you can do a recharge through a chatbot, for example. So it's a chatbot which sends you a message that you want to do your phone recharge or your toll pass recharge, for example. And you click cellular, then you select other things and do it like that. So that's just the difference we are bringing, the convenience, the ease.
Yeah, so a lot of companies in India also face similar challenges, Paytm and Vijay Shekhar Sharma, who's the founder, has spoken about that. So eventually those challenges were resolved because the country had something called India Stack. It's a national technology stack, and then everything falls in place. So I see that would be one of your biggest challenges now in Mexico. I'm assuming that there isn't something like a nationwide technology stack, and you're trying to put in all those pieces yourself, perhaps working with other entities in Mexico. Do you see that as one of your major challenges right now? Or if not, what would be the other challenges?
So, yes, there's a problem with the just the consistency, I'll say, out here,
right.
And so we're having to build it on our own. I'll just give you a simple example just to make it crystal clear. So in India, for example, every bank account has a phone number associated. And how that gets leveraged is when you go and do your payment, you get that OTP, you put it in, all good,
right.
Nice and safe transaction. Out here, that just does not exist. I mean, so.
Don't you have a national ID, like how we have Aadhaar number?
We do have the number, but we don't have a.
We're linked up to the system.
Yeah. So there's no way in which I get this person's ID down, then do this and verify him and all super
good. So authentication is a problem. Authentication.
Yes. just as the most simplest issue which we faced. Mm-hmm. And the government is looking in ways to build something like this. I mean, so, but it's again a super slow process.
Okay. So let's change gears now. Let's talk about the pandemic, the lockdown. I guess you have a lockdown in Mexico as well. How bad or how serious is it out there, Ranjay?
So as of today, at least for the last few weeks, Mexico is having one of the largest number of daily deaths.
Oh, that's tragic.
That's the metric I'm looking at. So,
lockdown restrictions? Are your public transport functioning? Are your shops open? Are people out on the streets? Are people trying to go back to work? Or are people working from home? Can you give us an overview on that?
So we did have a period during which only essential businesses were open. So we had the supermarket open, for example, throughout. Right. We could go down and buy from it. So there was no restriction that you can't go out, you can't go to your bank like in India. That's what I heard. And you just can't get out of the front gate of your society, for example. So nothing like that was here. Since June 1, we've now opened up quite a bit. Offices are still not open in full force, but I think by July, offices will open up out here. So again, the responses of the government or other entities are questionable, but yeah, that's the situation.
So you are experiencing a serious lockdown right now in Mexico with everyone working from home, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the same with us here in India. Like I have been working from home since March, 20th March. It's 3 months actually today.
Okay.
We're locked here 3 months. We haven't been to the office. We are connected over virtual conferences, virtual meetings. And we're working harder than ever, in fact. So you know, there's a lot of stress when you work like that. From employees working from home tend to burn out sooner. They don't have actual physical face-to-face. We're having a face-to-face interaction, but humans are social animals, right? We want to meet each other. We want to greet each other. We want to share. We want to exchange jokes, exchange ideas, exchange thoughts in a conference room or in a meeting room. We want to go down together for a smoke, a chat about movies and different things to get our mind off work. Boredom and loneliness tends to set in when you work in a very restricted, isolated environment. And what I'm seeing is that the HR departments in the larger companies, in fact, in most companies, are taking a lot of steps. They're calling up employees. Is everything okay? How are you doing? How are you coping up? You know, they're trying to keep the employees engaged as much as possible. We are even trying to have we have had a virtual town hall. I'm helping my HR to have like a virtual, some activity, like extracurricular activity for our employees. So I'm advising the HR. I'm the unofficial advisor here in my company. Nice. Yeah. So can you tell us what's happening there with the UNDOS stress? How are you keeping your 50 employees happy and excited and charged so that they can overcome their boredom, and you don't want to want them burning out too soon, right? So can you share with us?
Yep. So completely agree. It's a completely non-natural situation for humans. I mean, we love having a connection with nature. We love having humans around us. So it's natural to have some withdrawal symptoms. And the only way we've seen is, I mean, as you told, I mean, we're getting, I mean, out of our normal frequency of communication, let's say, yeah. And just trying to reach out. I mean, it's just as simple as that. So, because the more we talk, the more we get to know any hidden communication which usually gets apparent when you see people physically.
Right.
So some steps which we've had is, I mean, like we have a weekly happy hour. I mean, we play some games, like guessing the movies and all of that stuff. And we are having more than frequent one-on-ones, because the thing is, so yes, burnout is a real situation which we are seeing, because basically you lose a sense of time when you're just sitting in your house the whole day. But more importantly, it's about culture. I mean, so for a startup, it's all about the culture. And what differentiates us from anyone else is just how fast we move, how well we communicate with each other. So that's just
yes,
a thing which we want to keep up.
Okay, so you're having your fun and games too, right, for your employees. Like, we used to have a virtual dictionary at one point of time. There are all kinds of games around that. Anyway,
yes.
So that's wonderful. That's really nice that you're keeping your employees motivated and engaged and charged and happy. That's very important for a startup to keep your flock together. Right. So let's talk about, you know, there are people working in large companies who want to get out and come and work for a startup. There are people in college who want to work for a startup, but they are unsure how to go about it. They know about the rigid interview process and the hiring process, but they are still a bit concerned, like, you know, what should I be looking for when I go into a startup? Can you, you have been through that path, right, once before, straight out of college. You also went to work for smaller companies. You also had these thoughts running through your head. For some, it is about the founders. For some, it is about the kind of product. There are different aspirations for everybody. So what is your advice for those who look to work in a startup? You're now at a leadership position in your company. And when you're hiring engineers, you know, they're asking you a lot of questions. So you can kind of gauge what these guys are looking for in a startup. So what's your advice for anyone who wants to work in a startup, Ranjay?
I've worked in a large company such as Adobe, and then I worked in a string of startups. So startups are completely non-linear. I mean, there'll be a few people, a group of this small group who wants to just change the way a user is interacting with a particular service. So they're super non-linear, and there are ways to move on a faster lane with respect to personal growth is what I've seen. So for example, as an engineer, I learned more about business being in a startup because, I mean, the chief business officer is just sitting right beside me. I hear him talking, I hear him having his meetings, everything's happening in front of me. So just having that proximity to a variety of different persons, having different expertises, is the experience which you get at a startup, rather than, at a larger company, you'll be in your specialized area looking at a specialized thing, and it's just the experience. I mean, it's okay. If you love hearing different ideas, different aspects, and that keeps you going, that's a good thing. But if you like being super focused and you just want to get that patent out by working on that same thing for a couple years, that's then a big company with such as, again, Google, even Adobe does a lot of patents. So that's the difference.
Okay, so just one final question before we end this interview. Ranjay, these days, there are a lot of layoffs at startups, pink slips, and people get the notion that there is just no job security at a startup anymore. Well, we are going through a phase right now, and that might be a temporary thing. But how far is this true? And do you think that there is no job security in a startup, or that it moves, or it's a good way to grow in a startup? What are your thoughts on that?
Perfect. Good question. I've been in 3 startups, so yeah, I've got some experience for that. So in a normal situation, what I've seen is, if you've got really reputed and responsible founders, any round of funding they pick up is done with a 1.5 year to 2 year runway. So that's the promise they give to the people who invest in them, as well as, that's just how they should be working. They shouldn't be burning faster than that. So again, this sounds like a small career for people seeking stability. But if you seek a huge learning curve at a startup which is working on the cutting edge of disruption, so this will be a much better bet than having a job at an established company where you may or may not work on an innovative product. So that's really the whole difference out here. I mean, you may or may not have that stunning project at Google. I mean, you may be working at Google, but you may be working on a very ordinary thing. I mean, so that's the difference.
Okay, great. So thank you so much, Ranjay. It was fantastic having you here for this interview today. And thank you so much for sharing all your insights.
Perfect, Brian. Thanks.
Yeah. So one final piece before we go. Do you have any summary, any conclusion, any key takeaways from this interview? Some advice perhaps for young engineers in India?
Yeah. So for young engineers, I'll say that, and when you're young, you shouldn't be looking at probably the pay packet you're going to get or the brand name you're going to get on your resume in the longer term. But I mean, your focus should just be on learning. And this is just true for people who even get old but are just innovating. So Elon Musk is an example. I mean, he'll just be taking risks. He'll be learning more. It's a time that's what you should be doing. I mean, rather than just, I mean, people spend years studying for getting that job at Google. I'll say, I mean, go out, do try something else, but I mean, just spend that time learning rather than.
Okay. Just keep on learning. Stop learning. Okay. Thank you so much, Ranjay. Once again, it was a pleasure having you here on the show.
Perfect, Brian. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
So you were listening to Ranjay Lamba, the CTO of Undos Tres, who was talking all about his startup in Mexico and how he's revolutionizing the payment landscape. This is your host, Brian Pereira, founding editor of Digital Grid, wishing you all a good day and signing out. Goodbye and take care, everybody.